It's quite a long time since I stood in this pulpit to preach God's word, and I do thank you for inviting me to come and share God's word with you. I've been on the Christian journey a long time. I met the Lord Jesus as a child of 10. I wouldn't say I backslid, I just didn't stride forward till my late teens and 20s. And I want to say, first of all, thank you to the Lord for his grace in keeping me. My heart is burdened for many who have turned back, but I thank God for his grace. And I trust God will bless his word to us this morning. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, well, I felt led this morning to bring some thoughts from the book of Habakkuk. So we're going to have a quick look at some thoughts from the book of Habakkuk. I don't know where it is in the church Bibles, but it's after Nahum. It's in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament. And I'm going to read one or two pieces to start with, from Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. And then there's God's answer. Look at the nations and be amazed. Be utterly amazed. I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. There are a feared and ready people, alone to themselves. They promote their own honour. And it goes on about the condition in the world today. Now, I know there's many people in this church who, sincere as we do, hold to the doctrines of the Reformation. The Reformation, that wonderful basic truth of the Christian faith. Justification by faith alone. That great doctrine of justification by faith. But I want to speak for a few moments this morning, not about justification by faith, but about living by faith. Living by faith in this day in which we live. If you want to, this, I really struggle with this, but I felt it was the word God wanted me to bring. So we'll look at it together. And if you want a text, it's in chapter 1. Verses 2 to 4. No, it isn't. Just bear with me a minute. That's why does not God do something about the world today? It's chapter. Why? I'll be in a minute. Just beware. Here we are. See, chapter 2, verse 4. See, he is puffed up in his knowledge. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. And in the AV it says, the just shall live by faith. And in this situation in which we get, increasingly, we are going to have to learn to live by faith. It's one thing to be born again. And praise God, we need that new birth. If we haven't received Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we haven't begun the Christian life. But it's a great sadness to me that so many people I know who have begun well have been sidetracked and turned back from following God. So not only do we need faith to believe to enter the kingdom, we also need that faith to continue in the work of God and to continue walking with him. Habakkuk prophesied in a difficult time. It was a difficult time in Israel. And he prophesied, he was going through these verses at the end. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine. though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning, and you feel this, that everything is going wrong. There's no cattle in the pen. There's no crop in the fields. My life is difficult. I am going through difficult times. And the word of God, Habakkuk said, even though everything goes wrong, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in him. Because although the whole world collapses around me, I know that my life is built on a firm foundation, even Jesus Christ. So that said, I'm sorry that so many that I know have turned back. But we have that firm foundation. And whatever you are going through this morning, I felt this on my heart for somebody. Whatever you are going through this morning, you can rejoice in the Lord because God has promised never to leave or forsake you. The just shall live by faith. So, the church's view of God. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32 of the authorized verse, it says this: the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, it's not just the people who know their doctrine. We have to know the word of God. It's not just the people who know about God, but it's the people who actually know their God. When you're going through a time of trial and difficulty, you may know the Bible, but do you know the God of the Bible? Do you know that underneath are the everlasting arms of love? When we come to Jesus, when we accept him into our life, Jesus is the rock on which we must build. And I thank God for his grace. And I want to almost pray for someone here this morning who I sense is struggling. I want to tell you that the Church of Jesus is built on a firm foundation. The people who know their God shall be strong and do their exploits. The people who actually know God, how well do we know God this morning? I've always struggled with keeping a daily prayer life, and I still do to some degree struggle with it. I pray all of the time, but we need that relationship with God. We need that relationship with God for the days that are coming. How well do we actually know God this morning? Our relationship with God is the key to the Christian life. We may be doing all kinds of things in church, but underneath we must have that relationship with God. So I am asking this morning, not just how well you know your doctrine, but how well you know God. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing to you? You know, Habakkuk came to God on the false premise that God was accountable to him. Chapter 1, verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, there strife and conflict abound. Habakkuk came to God on this basis, that God was accountable to him. Many people today have been taught that the ultimate aim of God is to bless you, and that once you become a Christian, your life will be full of joy and unceasing blessing. And sadly, that is not always the case. In the real world, we have an enemy who seeks to pull us down. So our relationship with God this morning is the key to everything. How well do you know God? Habakkuk lived through a time of judgment. But in all things, even in the difficult days in which we live, God is still working for the good of his people. In all things, even in difficult things, God works for the good of those who love him. And that is the verse that I was looking at. Habakkuk 2, chapter 4. The just will live by faith. Now, what is faith this morning? Faith is not we feel, not what we feel. Faith is trusting in God, and faith is believing on the word of God. First of all, I want to say we need faith. First of all, we need faith in the person of God. In Romans chapter 8 and 28, it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things, in difficult things, as well as in good things. God bless, I've had a lot of blessing in my life, but I've also had some trials. And in all these things, God is working for the good of those who love him. Our God is just and true, and his kingdom will prevail. In Genesis 18:25, it says, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Sometimes we question, don't we? Sometimes our human question, we look at the world. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? But ultimately, God is in control. So we need faith in the person of God. And we need faith in the promises of God. God's word is true. He will keep his promise. I have found that God doesn't work according to my timescale. I pray today, tomorrow, where's the answer? Sometimes it comes a year later. But God will keep his promises. He is faithful and true. We also need faith in the power of God. I'm not turning to these texts. If you want to know after, we can look at them. Romans 4, verse 20. We read of Abraham. Abraham did not waver through unbelief. Abraham had been promised a child, and he went through many trials. But Abraham did not waver through unbelief. I'll look it up because it's a good one, is this? Romans 4. Verse 20. Romans 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was 100 years, and so there was rumours also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He didn't, without weakening his faith, he faced the facts. It was impossible. But God had said it, and he was strengthened in his faith. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Sometimes we have too low a view of God. God has the power to do what his word has promised, and we need to seek him in this. The power of God. Faith in the purpose of God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. That is the purpose of God. This world is not as God created it. It is not as it will be. The earth will be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. And lastly, faith in the provision of God. We've looked at that already. Though the fig tree does not blossom, there's no olive in the store, no cattle in the stall. Though my life is going pear-shaped, faith in the provision of God. Habakkuk said, though all these things are going wrong, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, even in this time of trial. It's very difficult. But faith knows that God is in control, even our situation. And then we have faith in the threefold purposes of God in Habakkuk 2. A very kind lady, many, many years ago, put some stickers on my Bible, and they're still there, so thank you. where the ultimate purpose of God, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The purpose of God from... Oh, just a second, I'll go back to that. The earth shall be filled, yes, with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And that's a wonderful day. Then there's the purpose of God for my generation, from the generation in which I live today. We are a chosen generation. This is quite surprising, really. But this is what the Apostle Peter said. I think your sticker's dropped off. But it says, you are a chosen generation for the praise of those... I'll find it. There we are. 1 Peter 2. You, and this is applies to us, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has chosen us for a purpose. We're still here for a purpose, that we might show the light of God to this generation in which we live. By what we say, but also by what we do and how we live, that the light of God might come into this generation and that we might be a witness to those around us. And then there's the purpose of God for my life in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, it said this: for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. The purpose of God for my generation, the purpose of God for my life. David served God's purpose and then God took him home. And if you're still here on the earth this morning, you may be weary and well doing. You may be feeling the effects of age. You may be a celiac and can't eat biscuits like me, but whatever it is, God still has a purpose for your life while we're here. The purpose of God for my life. Now, I have done a lot of searching about this. Various people down the years have tried to get me in the ministry, and they haven't succeeded. Because I felt that word of God saying, I will give you a place among those standing here in my church. And I thought that God meant I would be minister of that church. But God made me an elder of that church, and I've been there an awful long time. But that was the purpose of God for my life. And God has a purpose. We're not meant to just aimlessly drift through life. God has a purpose for all of us. I had a personal search. And then we come to the source of our rejoicing in chapter 3. Verse 17. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Now we're in chapter 2. I'm losing it quietly, don't you? Yeah. To bear with me, it's creeping up on me. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there is no sheep in the pen, nor cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord my God. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to go on the heights. In verse 17, we see that outward circumstances can be difficult. The fig tree does not bud. There are no grapes on the vine. The olive crop fail and the fields have produced no food. Outward situation may not be good. And in verse 18, we see the source of our rejoicing. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, even though all this is lacking and all this I'm battling with. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. And finally, God gives us strength to live for him. In verse 19, the Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. This is my testimony now, many years as a Christian, that God is my strength. He is the one that's kept me going, and I thank him and praise him. And I just want to give you an encouraging verse to close with, from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Just meditate. Look at the world today, and don't we moan and grumble what a state it's in? Wars, conflicts. Ultimately, God has the last word in the history of this world. And this is the last word. The earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Praise God that today I'm going to see. Whether I'm down here or up there, I don't know, but I'm going to see. Because I believe, I thank God for the gift of faith he's given me all these years. It grieves my heart so many people it's turned back, but I thank God that I can stand here with the gift of faith, and I'm going to see the earth filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea.